Members of the court, my name is Craig Davis, and I am the attorney for the appellant in this matter, State Trooper Dustin Hess. Trooper Hess has appealed and seeks reversal of a March 9, 2017 opinion by the full commission of the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission, which overturned an award by the deputy commissioner, which found that Trooper Hess had sustained post-traumatic stress disorder that was compensable under the Virginia Workers' Compensation Act. This would be post-traumatic stress disorder not accompanied by a physical injury, so it would be a purely psychological injury. The full commission, in their opinion, found that the PTSD was not sufficiently unexpected, and on that basis found that it was not compensable. And that's the issue before this court today that we come here.
In that vein, counsel, let me interrupt if I can.
Absolutely.
In that vein, of course, we're bound by the commission's factual findings, and the statute itself, of course, requires liberal construction in favor of your client, but the words of the statute are the words of the statute. So in terms of whether something is unexpected or not, obviously that's largely, it seems to be, a factual situation. And the commission, there was evidence, for example, your client received training on investigating fatal accidents, and there is some testimony, I think, from the supervisor to the effect that state troopers spend approximately something a little bit more than about a third of their time investigating accident scenes, and your client had been a trooper for, I think, some 7 years or so.
Ten years,
I'm sorry. And so given all of that, the commission, of course, concluded, correctly or incorrectly, the commission concluded that it was not unexpected, notwithstanding your client's testimony that he'd never seen anything like this, and as bad as everything else had been in his training, this was worse, and so forth. So isn't the commission free to reject your client's subjective evaluation if it chooses to, and accept the testimony of the supervisors and the other evidence of training that effectively suggests that this should not have been unexpected?
Well, that's a heck of a question, Judge Humphreys. What I'll say is I think you touched on in there the standard of review at the beginning of that question. And I don't believe, and I think the question with it, when this is a factual determination, would suggest, is this the credible evidence standard? When in fact, this is the de novo standard, as this court found in another PTSD case from 3 years ago, UPS versus Prince. In that case, it was just a corollary of this case. In that case, the full commission had found that that the PTSD was caused by a sudden shock or fright.
Well, in Prince, and I think I was on that panel, as a matter of fact.
I think I wrote it.
You did.
Yeah, Judge Alston wrote it. But in Prince, as I recall, it was a UPS driver.
Absolutely.
Who came upon a murder scene. Obviously, he had no training whatsoever. And, you know, I don't think delivering packages include what to do when when the addressee is a bloody body lying on the floor of the delivery
lane. No question, I don't argue. But the question is, but what we take from that case is what's the standard review? And that case said, in a PTSD case of that nature, and the court said that while causation is a factual determination subject to the credible evidence standard, the standards required to prove causation in this instance, and whether the evidence is sufficient to meet those standards, are legal issues which we must determine, and they are determined de novo. And that was this court's own finding in a PTSD case where we found, did the evidence rise up to meet, in that case it wasn't unexpected. In that case it was it a sudden shock or fright? Because in that case UPS said, you saw it for 5 seconds. You walked by a window and saw something in the window, it wasn't enough. But it's the same issue. In this case, they didn't latch on to that. They latched on to the unexpected. And I think that's, if you look at the cases, and as we go through the cases, they started out just with the Haygood case in 1941, where they first used this term, sudden shock or fright. They brought it in from other states and took it as majority view. And then as the cases developed over the next 71 years, and as stated by, again, this court in the second PTSD case, the year after Prince UPS, was Jackson versus Sarah's Marine Terminals. And in that case, this court said...
Can I just interrupt you for a minute?
Absolutely.
Because I want to follow up on Judge Humphrey's question. The bottom line is, isn't it, that in certain lines of work, you're going to deal a lot more with things where you're going to face things that could shock or frighten or give a traumatic, post-traumatic syndrome to a lot of people if you weren't trained and expected to have to deal with that. So if you have a Navy SEAL who ends up in a horrific firefight, he's expecting that. A state policeman trained to investigate accidents, including fatal accidents, is expecting, aren't they, to run into this sort of thing from time to time at least, whereas a UPS driver is not.
You took my specific analogy that I was going to present to the court. You can do all the basic training in the world down at Parris Island. I'm from South Carolina. But until you get there and the bullets are flying, you're not ready. Okay? So this guy, the testimony was from his supervisor and from the state trooper, we saw pictures of dead bodies. None of them mutilated. We saw pictures of dead bodies. No smells. No tactile sensations. We saw a picture of a dead body in training. The supervisor said, well, I'm older than this guy, but when I went through it, we never saw a dead body in person in the field as part of our training. We never showed mutilation as part of the training. Then you go to the trooper's testimony. Saw dead body pictures, sure. We've all seen those. And then we never saw anything like it. And he personally had worked 8 to 10 fatalities.
Well, counsel, you heard the last case. I know you're sitting in the courtroom. The last case, I heard Judge Austin mention our concern about unintended consequences.
And I agree.
Can I finish?
Oh, absolutely.
And one of the things that, in this case, that I'm a little bit concerned about is if we were to adopt, if, for example, unexpected means that every time, and in the context of your client, a state trooper receives a radio dispatch, there's been an accident to investigate. They clearly don't know necessarily much at that point until they actually arrive at the scene and see what is there. If what is there, and certainly potentially it could be a fatal accident. I suspect that every single time a trooper responds to an accident, they're told it's with injuries, there's a potential it's going to turn into a fatal accident of some sort. If they get there and they say, this is not what I expected, and suffer PTSD as a result of it, if I understand your argument correctly, that is always going to be compensable.
No. Excuse me.
Then what role does the commission play in determining otherwise if it's that subjective?
I apologize if that is what I've conveyed as my argument, because I don't agree with that. I believe what this court said in the unpublished Wright case that I cited, where it's unexpected means unexpected enough, okay, or sufficiently unexpected. And I think, and I invite the members of this court to look in the appendix at the pictures, at the photographs. And they're at, I wrote down, I think 471 through 486. We're in an outlier. Where's the test? The test is the outlier. We're not at a fatality where there's a drunk driver and there's a guy in there who's slurred to the side with his tongue hanging out. We're at straight out of a zombie movie. And these photographs show a mutilated body, the likes of which my trooper said he had never seen anything like it, where the testimony from witnesses and from the documentary evidence said for 8/10 of a mile, you had teeth, bone fragments, and brains scattered along 8/10 of a mile. My guy was there by himself photographing it with the close photographs show his hand in a glove holding the head up so they could try to identify it. It was so bad they couldn't identify the body from the driver's license. They had to use a tattoo on his back, go to the address on the driver's license, and get a parent to identify him.
We're an outlier. I agree that there may be a circumstance where there is an outlier, but wasn't there other evidence where a supervisor of your client testified that while it was bad, while it was horrific, while it was very unpleasant, he was able to work himself through it where he didn't suffer any post-traumatic stress disorder? Let me finish. So therefore, wouldn't a reasonable fact finder be able to consider the testimony of someone who is similarly situated, not the same, but similarly situated, to discern whether or not this has gone to the extent of being an outlier where it is indeed compensable?
Well, I think if we do that, then our unintended consequence is we go back on century of work comp law that says you take your victim as you find them. You take your employee as you find them. I could pick up this table right here and my back could crinkle. Ms. Hawkins could pick it up and have no injury at all. We don't have the same backs. So why are we expected to have the same psyches? Okay? We don't all have the same psyches.
But I think the question is, if you take on a certain job, you have certain responsibilities where, and based on your training, it may not be perfect training, but there are situations where it may be compensable for a UPS worker, but not for a state police veteran.
I don't dispute that. I agree with that. And that's why I think the cases are properly decided that talk about a prison person who gets urine thrown on them. I agree. I mean, if you don't go into no thinking that that's going to happen, then you are in the wrong job. But I don't think there's a job for any person in America, including first responders,
who wouldn't have had the PTSD, perhaps.
Who wouldn't have be susceptible to the impact that might develop depending on what you have inside of you. Again,
I think the difficulty for us, at least for me, and I suspect for my colleagues as well, from judging from their questions, is in terms of crafting an opinion here, the commission has concluded, both as a matter of fact and as a matter of law, that this was not unexpected. Given the training, the testimony of the supervisor, and so forth, the commission has concluded that this is not unexpected. Now, for us to say otherwise, we would have to either say as a matter of law that any time in a similar situation it's asserted otherwise, we would have to basically, it's automatically compensable, and you said that's not your position, or we would have to, in effect, be our own substitute our fact-finding judgment for that of the commission, and basically put ourselves in their shoes and say, now, if we've been sitting on, as if three of us have been sitting as workers' comp commissioners, we should have and would have compensated your client.
Well,
is that our only options here?
I'm not sure I agree with that, Judge Humphreys. I would say that when in the Prince case, they went through the standard review. And
please answer his question, but I wanted to let you know you're going in your rebuttal.
Okay. I would say in that case, they talked about coming up with the idea that the Court of Appeals will decide de novo whether the evidence is sufficient to meet the standards. All right? And the deputy commissioner who heard the evidence and had a credibility determination in favor of the claimant that was never mentioned.
Well, we don't review the deputy commissioner. We review the commission.
I know, but there was a credibility finding that this was a credible gentleman who testified. So when that the full commission heard it, it comes up here de novo to decide whether the evidence is sufficient to meet those standards. That is the legal issue to decide. I don't believe that the floodgates are open to every person who has urine thrown on them. And I'll just use my time if I'm allowed to. I would point the Court of Appeals to the Wright case and the two other full commission cases that I pointed to. In the Wright case, it was found that a psychiatric aide in a sex facility was groped. And this court said, yeah, of course you're gonna. That's an expected and reoccurring part of the employment. But despite that, they said this was sufficiently dramatic, sufficiently unexpected. And to me, that stands for the idea that...
Wasn't part of that that sexual assault is not something that should ever be expected?
But they said it's a recurring... It is a recurring, and it, no, they found a finding by this court was it's expected and reoccurring that people who work in this facility would be groped and touched. So even though it was expected and reoccurring, that's a direct quote from there, they found that it was unexpected enough given the facts. And then the full commission took that case in the Shortridge versus King Mountain, which I believe my opposing counsel was on that case. A female correctional officer, again, was groped in the bathroom. And they found that even though it's that those things happen in prison facilities, it was still dramatic and unexpected enough. And then following that, the full commission came in Davis versus City of Danville, where a guard was said, "We're going to kill your family." Now, I've never been in jail. I hope that never comes about. But I would expect that happens in jail every single day. But they found that case, it was compensable. In that case, simply based on a threat, and they even said, we know this stuff happens all the time, but we can't have a per se rule that every police officer, every security, every prison officer has to expect that he'll be threatened. That's not the test. You got to go further and say, to this individual, was it unexpected? And it, they said it was unexpected enough. And I thank you, Court, for listening to our
argument. Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
May it please the Court, I'm Mary Hawkins, and I represent the employer, Virginia State Police, and the Commonwealth in this matter.
Ms. Hawkins, let me ask you this. You're not suggesting that there is a circumstance that we are supposed to impose some sort of bright-line rule that whenever a trooper experiences a shocking event, such as the death of someone or a gruesome accident, that he or she cannot suffer PTSD, are you?
No, sir. I'm not suggesting that.
And let me ask you this question. Suppose we had a situation where we had a trooper, all right, a male trooper, and I'll say why I'm saying that later, a male trooper, and his wife has just given birth to their first child, and he happens upon a crime scene where, heaven forbid, 10 newborn babies have been killed, and that trooper suffers PTSD because of that, goes to the commission and presents his case similar to this particular trooper. And the fact finder says, I indeed find that you have suffered PTSD. I believe that this is an unexpected occurrence. I believe that it's sufficiently sophisticated, or whatever term we want to use, where we're going to award compensation in this particular case. Would you agree or disagree with that finding?
I would agree with that finding, Judge Austin, just because of the fact that it's a factual circumstance that this trooper, his wife is getting ready to give birth to a child. He has all of that joy and that anticipation of the child's birth, and then he goes on a scene and he's shocked to see all of these babies, which are, I believe you said, were deceased.
Yep. Yep.
And I think in that situation, it would be shocking for him because outside of his work, his family, his wife is getting ready to have a baby and the joy from that, and then, you know, I think it would relay over into his personal life that, you know, when his wife's giving birth to the baby, what would happen if the baby was dead?
Okay, I appreciate your response. Let me take it a step further. Suppose the commission in this case had said from a factual resolution or a factual analysis, we believe that this particular incident was so shocking to this particular trooper that we believe that his claim is compensable.
I think if the commission had found that, Judge Austin, I believe that it would be that would be the case. It's a fact, you know, I'm not saying that there's a subjective standard in regard to that, but if there's some extenuating circumstances, like I believe in the Wright case and in the Shortridge case that Mr. Davis had spoken about, yes, they worked in prisons, and yes, as a correctional officer, they would anticipate an assault. Even
so basically, you believe that this case is driven by the factual analysis made by the commission?
Yes. I do. And I think that Mr. Davis is asking us to incorporate a subjective standard in this regard, and I don't think that that's appropriate for the court to make that determination because it was never brought up to the commission to allow the commission to make that determination on whether or not a subjective standard.
Is whether something is unexpected or not, is that a purely factual determination as far as you're concerned?
I think it is for that employment and for that job. So in this case, the commission looked at all of the testimony, gave weight to all the testimony of Trooper Hess and his supervisors, and they weighed that evidence, and they felt that based on the evidence that this accident itself was not something that would be unexpected in the role of a state trooper and in a role of a trooper that had sought himself training, specialized training in crash scene reconstruction. Because the majority of the time, I think the testimony was, when you go out for a crash scene reconstruction, you're going to, it involves a fatality. So, you know, not just being a state road trooper itself, he also had sought the additional training to be an accident scene reconstructor.
We see some pretty gruesome things on this court in connection with either criminal or even workers' comp cases. And if I can get PTSD compensation for it, I'll have to bear that in mind. So.
Yes, Your Honor. So, you know, in this case, you know, the commission made several accurate factual findings that are binding on this court. The accident scene was surprising, yet not shocking or unexpected to an experienced state trooper and crash scene investigator. Mr. Hess's occupation expressly entails investigating violent accident scenes, witnessing graphic events, including severe human injuries and death. And unlike in the Wright case and in the Shortridge case, Mr. Hess's situation was not one where he was faced with credible threats and fear of personal danger. The commission declined to find that the societal...
Let me interrupt you again. The commission, of course, made its determination. The evidence here was that the trooper had received some training. Is it basically up to the commission to determine whether or not the training is of such nature as to render something expected versus unexpected?
I don't believe so, because, I mean, I think if you go to see whether or not the training is sufficient, you know, like Mr. Davis said, the training may be sufficient for me, but it may not be sufficient for another commissioner, and you go into a subjective determination at that time.
For example, the only training that the state police provided in accident investigation was, you know, here's how you take measurements, here's how you do a scene diagram, and didn't show basically photographs of how gruesome things can be and prepare their troopers for their soon-to-be troopers for those kinds of things, would your answer be different?
I don't think so, because I think as a road trooper or a state trooper, you know, even if you're called out to an accident scene just to take measurements and things, you know, there's a chance that there's going to be a fatality there, and there's still going to be a chance that you're going to be exposed to that. And I think the testimony...
But carrying that to its logical extreme, then, that it would never be compensable in a situation like that, if I understand your...
I don't think that it would never be compensable. I think that there are circumstances when the commission may find that it is compensable. Say you have a state trooper that's called out to an accident scene, and he goes to the scene, and he realizes that the body is a family member. I think that would be shocking for the trooper. So I think there are circumstances, factual circumstances, that would make the commission find that the post-traumatic stress disorder is related to the employment.
So if the commission had found in that situation that it was not compensable, do you think we could very easily reverse the commission if it had been a state trooper going out and to an accident scene and finding the shock of a family member?
Your Honor, I don't know that that would necessarily be the case, because, again, it was a factual determination from the commission making that factual determination that it was not unexpected or it was not shocking.
In this case, suppose the commission had found, I guess, unanimously here that this was not compensable. If they found, or even unanimously found here, that this was compensable, would we have any real reason to reverse it?
If they found that it was compensable? I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think it would be a factual determination, and if they factually found that this type of accident scene was something that would have shocked the conscience or been expected as a state trooper, then I don't think you would have a basis to...
Let's take that a step further. That's obviously a very good question by Judge Fields. Suppose we have Police Officer A and Police Officer B, and they observe the very same accident.
Okay.
And the very same injuries. They both file a claim for compensation. The commission considers Trooper A or State Officer A's circumstances and says compensable because of your circumstances, because of what you bring to the table. And for State Officer B, they say not compensable. Could those two decisions live together?
I think they could, Your Honor, just based upon the fact that there was some factual determination that may have made those two different. I mean, that would be just like he said earlier with an injury case. You know, if I picked up, like, the table and hurt my back and he did the exact same thing.
If you reversed it, you're the one that didn't get hurt.
Right. So, you know, I think they can reconcile with each other just because of the different facts. I may have lifted it a different way than how Mr. Davis lifted it. You know, so there's some factual determinations
in any way suggesting that we should come out with a decision that provides some sort of bright line test that a state trooper under circumstances where he or she witnesses a fatality that is particularly gruesome, that he or she is never able to be compensated for the injuries.
Right. I'm not asking that the court come out with a line saying they're never to be compensated for that. But I think if there's factual determination that it was shocking or that it was unexpected, then, you know, it would be compensable. I think the Workers' Compensation Commission is the appropriate body to make a decision on whether or not to use, make the determination on whether or not it was expected or unexpected as to the Virginia State Trooper.
Just to make sure I understand, that determination of whether it's expected or unexpected is a finding of fact, is your argument?
I believe so, because they're the ones that are looking at all of the facts and all of the testimony and the record that's before the commission. And they're looking also at the job duties, and what that entails. And I think that they're in the best position to make a determination of whether or not that would be shocking or unexpected to that employee with that employer with that circumstance. Okay. So the commission's decision is not wrong as a matter of law. The Virginia State Police and the Commonwealth ask that this court affirm the March 9, 2017 decision of the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission.
And with that final statement, I'm assuming that you're recognizing that the resolution that we need to make is a mixed question of law and fact. The facts are what they are, but the question of law that we need to determine does require us to make an independent determination as to the applicable law in the situation.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hawkins. Mr. Davis, I'll give you a minute if you want to wrap up really quickly, because I know we had a lot of questions.
That's all right.
Judge Beals is feeling very generous today.
I feel that. I would just simply state again. I don't think there's a way to distinguish the Wright and Shortridge cases and Davis cases that were brought up from this case. If anything, having a security guard or a prison guard here, being told I'm going to get your family, is much more expected than coming out to see the facts of what occurred in this case. And the facts are that this body was strewn about. And again, I don't think there's a way to see those photographs and think that this is something that any police officer or first responder is trained to see. And the photographs are in color in the appendix. I made sure there were color copies in there because I think that's what the case hinges on. And I believe that alone establishes that on an independent basis how unexpected it is. And I don't think anybody, and there is no testimony that for anybody that says they've seen one like this before.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. We will read counsel, and the next case on the docket.